And welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily here, live from the Flipping Made Easy Studios in Matawan, New Jersey. I'm Gooch. I'm by myself. Sturch is still on paternity leave, and I get to finally make the announcement that a beautiful baby boy was born at 10 a.m. yesterday. Congratulations to Dave and his beautiful wife, Stephanie. A big old beast of a baby. I think it's like 10 pounds or some shit, which is just unheard of, especially in my family. So in 20 inches, we got a big baby boy, Sturge, newest member of the Chop Sports family. So we all would like to congratulate Dave and Steph on the birth of their beautiful baby boy. Now that I got the feel-good story out of the way, obviously I just got news that Aaron Rodgers is out, officially out, Sunday versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, obviously, I had no plans on talking about Aaron Rodgers at the Open or at all during this show until later on, but this is this is one of those things where I'm thrown for a loop early, and I had my rundown all set, but this is what happens when you're doing live TV or live shows. You just got to kind of roll with the punches. I'm sick to my stomach. I haven't even had time to digest this situation yet, and yeah, that sucks, but you know what doesn't suck? Yesterday, I ended up doing the show by myself. I got a lot of good feedback from everybody. I don't want to say that I'm proud of myself because I listened back to the show and I really wasn't that pleased. But overall, it was a good time. Stressful day overall, but I ended up having a good finish. Last night, I went home. I do my usual routine. I kind of handicap a couple games. I maybe go check the Sauce's YouTube page. I check my email, see what kind of the VIP ticket's looking like. And then I make my plays. Yesterday, I had a good day. I can't deny it. I'm not one of those people that only talk about when I win, but yesterday I had a good day and I really needed it. Shout out to the WAC conference for running games midweek because, honestly, it's bonus football and you could slap the over on the WAC day in and day out. I also wanted to mention how easy it is to hit on these money lines in the NBA when you got a heavy favorite that's down double digits at halftime and you could get them plus 200 or plus 165. Thank you, Phoenix Suns. Thank you, Lakers, even though I had to sweat that one out. It was a nice bonus for me. And yes, Jimmy, a happy Chris. No, I'm not happy. I'm definitely not happy with the way things turned out this morning, but overall, my BetMGM account is looking very happy. And if you would like to get involved with BetMGM, I'm not trying to force anybody's hand here, but go on to chopsportsmedia.com, click the Jamie Foxx banner, make a little deposit. Thank you. I appreciate it. They give you a bunch of free bets. They get like $450 free bets, and you get one of your first bets that you actually make with your own money is a risk-free bet. So, you know, you can't lose there, and everybody wins. What else do we got in the intro? NBA action. I really wouldn't even say NBA action. We got the Ben Simmons situation has come to a head again in Philly, where apparently Ben Simmons is using the whole mental health aspect of things as to why he's not with the team. And it's not me to get involved in somebody's mental health situation. But when you look over at the NFL and you see the Calvin Ridley situation and you see how serious it really could be for some of these guys, and you expect because they're athletes to be able to just power through whatever's going on, and not to mention the pressures that come with being an athlete. Now, don't get me wrong. Ben Simmons is making $40 million a year. My heart does not bleed for Ben Simmons. Now, but that said, I'm curious to know what everybody out there thinks of his refusing to take team help from the team. To me, it seems like Ben Simmons is a spoiled baby, and he's using the mental health crutch as the reason why he's not showing up to Philly, but the reality is that he's just a baby, and I think it kind of paints him in a bad light where he's trying to play the victim here. If you had a mental health issue and the team is offering said help, I don't know why you wouldn't, you know, I guess because he just has a fractured relationship, but either way, we're going to move on. The Atlanta Braves, World Series champs after 26-year drought, which is, I guess, everybody in the country outside of maybe Queens and Houston is very happy about. I know a couple Braves fans. Braves fans are a loyal bunch. It's one of those teams that almost like the Cubs, where they have fans everywhere. Everybody knows their couple Braves fans, and they've been good for long enough. We talked about at length about how they've been good long enough without winning enough to make people mad. So they're kind of that team that nobody has any issues with the Braves except for Mets fans and I guess Phillies fans and now Astros fans. Yeah, Carl, I'm definitely alone in the Flipping Made Easy studios. And Scoop, I agree. Ben Simmons is definitely using that as a crutch. But back to the World Series, we got Jorge Soler becomes the second Cuban-born player to win a World Series MVP. And I do not have who the first one was, so I'm sure Scoop will be on that in a moment. But this guy absolutely hit a bomb yesterday to get things started off. His third home run of the World Series, looking at the roster up and down, the only other guy that I could consider would have been Ozzie Albies because I think he reached base in every single game of the entire postseason, which is amazing. But, yeah, Max Fried, he righted the ship. He had a rough start, and I think he started in game two. But this kid showed up yesterday. You could tell he had that look in his eyes. I'm glad I didn't take the over like I said I was going to do because the Braves did their part, but the Astros did not do their part, not even in the least bit. I think Max Fried threw his fastest pitch of the entire season for that was a called strike or a swing and miss at a strike, and he did that in the fifth inning of the final start of his season. So that's what you want to see out of a young kid. Max Fried, I'm not sure when he's going to become a free agent. I'm pretty sure he's still young, but he etched himself in baseball lore with that start last night. I was a little bit surprised, to be honest, about how they took Max Fried out of the game when they did, but obviously it all worked out. Leads me to another question. Oh, before I get to that point, Freddie Freeman tacked on the one insurance run, and that might have been his final at-bat as an Atlanta Brave because he enters free agency. And now that brings me to my next point, which is, is this Astros team now finished? And I say finished, use air quotes. I mean, like, they could probably contend in the American League next year again, but the team that we know it, as we know it, with the Bregman, the Altuve, and the Correa, that being the core three guys, I'm sure there's more, but, you know, those are the three guys that have been the main catalyst outside of Springer, who is also now gone. But Correa is now a free agent, and I don't anticipate the Astros ponying up the money that he's going to demand in free agency. Hopefully the Yankees do get involved because I was looking at it, and when I heard that the Yankees might be interested in Correa, my initial thought was, I'm not really too keen on Carlos Correa becoming a Yankee, and it has nothing to do with the allegations about cheating and all the hate that's been spewed back and forth between the Astros and the Yankees. I have no qualms with that situation. I would take A.J. Hinch as the Yankees manager. I would take Altuve as our second baseman. Across the board, give me the good players. The reason being was I thought Carlos Correa has been in the league for like 13 years. I'm like, why are we going to sign this guy that's aging, bring another, you know. I just didn't think that he was as young as he is, but he's 27 years old. This kid, I feel like he's been playing forever. And he definitely is the prime free agent in MLB this year, outside of maybe Scherzer, but Scherzer's getting up there in age and, you know, he's had his injury history, specifically this season, where he's just kind of couldn't seem to be 100%, and, you know, he's approaching that age now. So after game one, so I'm reading a comment from Scoop now, and I'll bring it up. After game one, Soler was plus 3,000 for MVP, and I said, oh, that's a good bet. Then I didn't do shit about it. Yeah, Scoop, I'm with you on that. I have a few of those in my day for sure. And Jamie Silverberg, thank you. Rodgers has COVID. We are aware. I am very upset. To my knowledge, Aaron Rodgers is not vaccinated. I'm not here to get into the vaccination situation. But, yeah, I mean, very, very, very depressing for us Packer fans. But we'll get to that a little bit later as we get into the NFL. More news as we wrap up the World Series. And I mean, I shouldn't say more news as we wrap up the World Series, but tragic news out of Las Vegas where Henry Ruggs is being charged with two felony counts, one being driving under the influence, causing death. Or I'm not exactly sure the terminology, but as the details trickle out of this case, it's going to become more and more tragic. You know, I've been reading a lot, and really there's no remorse from my end for Henry Ruggs in some ways because of the position that he's in, but it's hard for me as a human being to not look at it from another lens and just see, like, you know, forget about him, the guy. Like, Henry Ruggs has a two-year-old daughter. His girlfriend, fiance, I'm not sure, his baby mama was in the car with him. and she's injured. I'm not sure the extent of her injuries because they won't release things like that yet. But across the board, like the woman was in the car at 3:40 in the morning and gets struck by a drunk driver. She's with her dog. The dog passes away. I'm sure that could end up being another charge down the line. My question is, now, obviously, the Raiders release Henry Ruggs. Does this mean that Henry Ruggs is done forever? That's the question that I was asked yesterday. That's a couple things that I've been seeing on Twitter. Kyle Kerms posted a poll. It was resounding. Henry Ruggs will never play in the NFL again. I think this is a cut and dried case, and I feel like, and I don't mean to say this lightly, like I'm not, no pun intended, the first casualty of having an NFL team in Las Vegas, because coming off the bye week, you see, it's almost like clockwork when you have a bye. There's a DUI. I think Casey with Dallas, luckily for everybody involved, there was no death. But it's just one of those things in the NFL, bye weeks, the coaches stress, like, be smart, be safe, do things together with your teammates, be with your family. But when you're a 22-year-old kid and you're making $4 million a year, I'm pretty sure that's what his contract was, you tend to do whatever you want. And really, with the NFL, there's just no excuse for it. Because, yes, Carl, I got a question. Did Dante Stallworth ever play after his incident? Yes, Dante Stallworth's incident was very, very different. And the details of that case were strange because somebody was in the crosswalk. It wasn't a situation where the car was stopped at a stoplight, which was the case in the Ruggs situation. There was somebody walking across the street that shouldn't have been. And I'm pretty sure on top of that, they were also not a legal citizen. So I think that had some mitigating factors there. But nonetheless, Dante Stallworth did play. Back to the Henry Ruggs situation, I don't think Henry Ruggs sees the light of day for at least 10 years. I mean, like, you know, when we're dealing with alcohol and we're dealing with, I don't know if they're going to call it homicide or manslaughter or what, but I would imagine in this case, just with the articles I've been reading by the lawyers being interviewed, that it's not going to be a manslaughter situation. It's going to be vehicular homicide. And, you know, they're going to make an example of this guy, and rightfully so. Somebody lost their life. It's a tragic thing. I don't want to talk about it anymore on that side of it, because that's all going to play out and it's just bad across the board. But what I will do is now I'll talk about the football side of things, because obviously the Raiders are 5-2. I believe they're 5-2. They're sitting atop the AFC West, and coming off of a bye week, you know, you think that they're in a decent position. And then after the whole John Gruden thing, they're 2-0 with their new coach. And then this strikes. It's just one of those things where now you got to replace this guy, or you got to figure out a way to make a move. I see a point here. I don't understand. As much money as they make, should have drivers. Yeah, I feel like a lot of the players, they do have drivers in the NFL, where the NFL has a car service. But it's this thing between, and I could almost equate it to the Ben Simmons situation. The NFL players already feel as if there's too much poking and prodding into their personal lives by their employer. And the NFL Players Association is the one that's, I think, providing the car service in conjunction with the NFL to kind of, you know, have some type of privacy going on about what's happening off the field. But I don't think many of the players trust the NFL in that aspect. But forget all that, bro. If you're making $40,000 a year, you know, and you go out to the bar, you should take an Uber and take an Uber home. So an NFL player making $4 million, there's just simply no excuse. And while it's tragic, he deserves everything that they give him in this situation. Back to the football aspect of things. So Henry Ruggs has been a big part of the Raiders' offense. He's been their big play guy. You know, every time you think the Raiders might be out of it, all of a sudden Henry Ruggs over the top, 50 yards. There was no deal at the deadline to replace him. But there was a guy that was released by the Rams. And speaking of the deadline, the entire NFL trade deadline outside of the Von Miller, and then I guess the last splash move was the Melvin Ingram thing with the Chiefs. But no real moves made. Deshaun Watson stays put. Xavier Howard stays put. Brandon Cook stays put. Those were the three guys that everybody expected to get moved, but nobody did. But what happens in the NFL after the trade deadline is you see everybody that every team that was in the position to make a trade, they weren't able to get rid of these players via trade. What happens now is you're going to see a slew of veteran players that are cap casualties, we'll call them, even though it's not the off season. These guys are just not in the plans, and or they just want a new change of scenery to a contender, and the team obliges. And I think that's what you have in the case with DeSean Jackson. I feel like DeSean Jackson will be a Raider by the end of the week because it just makes sense. It's a tragic situation, but DeSean Jackson, if you could pick one player that's now available, I would say that the Raiders could use a DeSean Jackson in their offense to kind of take over what Henry Ruggs was doing. I know year two and year like 14 for DeSean is a very big difference, but at the same time, you might get some of that veteran help, and it will be better than what they're going to put out there in instead of a Henry Ruggs or whoever they would have had to replace Henry Ruggs. So I think that DeSean Jackson will be a guy that you could expect to be at least in talks with the Raiders in the coming days. Let me see what else I got. Yeah, I don't really have much else for the NFL trade deadline. I think that there's, as far as fantasy football goes, I don't think DeSean Jackson is worth it even on the Raiders. But yeah, that's that. We're going to go to break, and when I come back, I'm just going to give you guys my NFL power rankings. I know that there's a lot of action around the top seven. I think it could be a coin flip after the top three, who goes where, and I'm excited to talk about that. And when we get back, we'll talk the NFL power rankings. Now, let me just find this commercial.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
And welcome back. So I just checked my phone and I have like 31 text messages. And people think that when something like this happens that I don't know immediately, I don't know why people feel the need, and I'm going to call you out, Jimmy, even though Jimmy did actually break the news to me in some ways. Like, I read it as he was saying it, so he was on the money. But I felt like me and Jimmy have this little beef going on right now because I admittedly dropped the ball on his podcast yesterday, and he had Artie Lang on as a guest. And for the first 2 hours, there was no Artie Lang interview. As I'm doing my first live show, all stressed out, as soon as I end, I get a call from Jimmy saying, bro, what happened? So now he felt the need to sabotage my show by giving me the Aaron Rodgers information as I'm about to go live, which I guess played out well. Maybe that's why I have a decent amount of viewers today, is because everybody wants to see the pain in my eyes. But everybody else, you think that I'm not aware? You know, are you trying to get a reaction? I'm not going to give you one. Tommy D, go fuck yourself. So, power rankings. We've been talking the Raiders, so I'm going to keep talking Raiders because coming in at number 10, well, I'm just going to do the top 10. I'm not going to go through the entire NFL. 10 down to 1. So, the Raiders. Obviously, we talked a little bit about them, so I'm not going to get too deep into it, but the Raiders have had a lot of bullshit going on with them this season, and they've managed to find a way to win games. I know in the beginning of the season, they did beat the Ravens. People weren't really sure what was going to happen with the Raiders. They won three in a row, they dropped two straight, and then it was like, oh, this is the Raiders. And then what happened was they fire John Gruden leaves, and they get this new coach who's not really a new coach, but a guy that comes in, and the players still get the system that John Gruden was running, so not too much to change there. And they rattle off two wins, and they sit firmly atop the AFC West. I don't believe in the Raiders going forward. I didn't really firmly believe in the Raiders as it was, but now with this going on, it's just tough, man. I would have them a little bit higher if this situation didn't just go down, but just outside of the football thing, you know, just what it's going to do to this team. You know, how much could these guys deal with? Maybe it galvanizes them a little bit, but at the end of the day, they're worse off because of no Henry Ruggs. So I'm not going to go any higher than them, than 10 on the Raiders, and I could expect maybe a Cincinnati Bengals team to overtake them in the next couple weeks. Moving on to number 9, the Tennessee Titans. I had a tough one between the Raiders and the Titans. I didn't know who to put where, and the Henry Ruggs situation was the ultimate decider for me. But obviously, the Titans, man, as they're sitting 6-2, they're now without King Henry for the full season, for the rest of the way, and that's their entire identity. Maybe, just maybe, with the receivers they have on the outside, and everybody's been singing how Tannehill has been the most underrated quarterback in the NFL, or one of, for the last 2 years. Now, there's some truth to that, but now he's going to have to prove it without his bell cow back and the guy that kind of opens up the entire secondary for him as he throws the ball. So we'll see. Titans are good. Their defense is, I guess, playing a little bit better. They gave up 31 to the Colts, but there was a lot of bullshit going on in the beginning of the game with turnovers, and the Colts had a short field. But second half, the Titans played really well. So, Titans coming in at number 9. And coming in at number 8, and maybe they should be a little bit higher than this, and for the same reason why I have the Titans and the Raiders low in the bottom 3 of the top 10 is because of the quarterback. Right now, Jameis working on a torn ACL, done. So Trevor Siemian, I know they got the other guy. I can't think of his name. Scoop, help me out here. But anyway, the other quarterback on the Saints, and I can't believe that I can't think of his name. Oh, I thought somebody was commenting on it. But, yeah, when you see him as the quarterback, Alvin Kamara's numbers went down significantly. Michael Thomas is now dealing with a new injury. He is out for the season. Taysom Hill. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Scoop. So, dealing with an injury to Michael Thomas, like I said, he's now out for the season. The Saints, the reason why I put them above the Titans and the Raiders is because the Saints defense has the ability to completely take anybody out of the game. They have two quality wins, arguably the best two wins out of any team in the league right now, with completely pasting the Packers week 1, 38-3, and then everybody saw what they did to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady last week. So the Saints, they've managed to find ways to win games. I think there's a case to be made that they have a chance based on their defense to make noise in the NFC, but because of the no quarterback situation, I'm not a big believer in Taysom Hill as a passer. I think they're going to struggle against some of the teams that are able to put up some points. Next, number 7, the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I had the Ravens going into 2 weeks ago, the last time we did the power rankings, sitting, I think, at number 3 I think it was sitting at number 3, and not much has changed other than the fact that they got embarrassed by the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Cincinnati Bengals, like, if you would have seen my power rankings last week, I had the Bengals way up top, but then the loss to the Jets bumps them out because you can't lose to the Jets. I don't care what. But the Ravens, they're getting Rashad Bateman. I think that their offense is going to be a little bit better with Bateman, and that's a scary thing for opposing defenses because their offense was already rolling. I believe the running back situation is murky. It's going to be murky all year, but they're going to always be able to run the football because they got Lamar Jackson. Their defense can be had. They're susceptible to giving up big yardage totals to tight ends. We talked about that yesterday doing the fantasy analysis. They're a little bit weak at the back end. They didn't make any moves that typically the Ravens do at trade deadline, where you always see them land some fucking all-pro defensive tackle. They weren't able to do that this year. But at the end of the day, the AFC is fairly weak right now. Outside of the Bills and the Ravens, I don't see a team that's really jumping out there and taking over as like a legitimate contender. So the Ravens come in at number 7. And coming in at number 6, coming off of a loss, I think that this is a really good place for the Bucs, because obviously they're one of those teams that are going to be there in the end. I think their defense is scratching the surface. They're always going to struggle this year stopping people throwing the ball, though. If they can't generate a pass rush, they're going to struggle because their back end, their corners are just not great. Richard Sherman, I think he's still out, but even when he gets back healthy, he's a shell of his former self. I'm not sold on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary, but I do think, like I said, their defense in terms of pass rush and things like that, they're just scratching the surface. And they have Tom Brady. They have Leonard Fournette, who I wouldn't say he found the fountain of youth, because I believe he's still only like 26, but he kind of resurrected his career out in Tampa Bay. And obviously the receivers are who they are. And I don't expect to see Gronk back in action much more this season at all, if ever again. He dealt with the broken ribs. Now he's dealing with a back situation. And when your back goes and you're big like Gronk, it's tough to recover from that. But the Bucs will be there in the end. They round out the bottom half of the top 10. Coming in at number 5, we got the Buffalo Bills. They struggled mightily in the first half against the Miami Dolphins. They kind of cost me a decent amount of coin because I hammered the Bills early, first half, game total, team total, first half, team total. And everything that I touched in the first half went to shit, but they ended up righting the ship in the second half and slowly, systematically took the Dolphins out. But the Dolphins stink, and I'm sure Jimmy Palumbo's saying that right now on the bottom of the comments. But, yeah, the Dolphins stink. The Bills should have beat up on the Dolphins, and I would have the Dolphins – I mean, I would have the Bills a little bit higher, but they came off of that loss on Monday night. The bye week, I expected the Bills to come out firing on all cylinders, full throttle, and they really just stumbled out of the gate. But it shows you what good teams are able to do, even when they're not when they don't have their best stuff, because they still ended up winning by 15 points. So that game was well in hand by the time it ended. That's it for the AFC teams. So as you well know, the NFC is completely stacked, and right now we have coming in at number four the Arizona Cardinals. Maybe they should be ranked a little bit higher, but I don't know. I just feel like they've been flirting with a loss for the last couple weeks. They didn't look good against the Texans to me. Kyler Murray, same thing that happened last year with this team where they came out of the gate really hot. This year, their defense is a better defense than they were last year. But losing J.J. Watt is going to be a big thing. Just Kyler Murray, obviously, I wouldn't say he's the front runner for MVP anymore because of his dud performance on Thursday night. But when you lose a home game on national television, even though you were the best team in the league going into the week, and I just look at the other rosters and what other teams are doing in the NFC, and we're talking power rankings. This is a dynamic situation. All these teams, you could put them anywhere, like I said in the beginning. And I just think coming off the loss, they really got beat up in that game. As much as they had a chance to win late, I thought that the Packers completely controlled that game through and through, and it exposed the Cardinals a little bit, and we'll see how they respond to that, especially with one of their leaders on defense out for the season now. All right, so now this is where it gets good. This is where I honestly really, really had a hard time, and for the sake of the birth of Dave Sturcio's child and just the state of things here at Chop Sports and the text message I received yesterday about the power rankings, I'm going to come in to number three with a little bit of a, I don't know if I'm going to sell myself out on this, but I'm going to put the Rams at three, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because they did get beat really bad by the Cardinals at home, and like for the other reasons that I said, because Dave's just gave birth to his beautiful baby boy, et cetera, et cetera. So but the Rams, man, you look at this team. I talked about it yesterday. They're really loaded across the board, offense, defense. They got the two best defensive linemen in the league, arguably. I wouldn't call Von Miller really a D lineman, but, you know, best pass rushers in the league. Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the league. You can make the case that Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in the league. So there's really that, though, the parts on that defense, they're going to make big plays. They're going to be tough to throw on, tough to run on. So the Rams are really good. Let's not talk about Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford doing his best Patrick Mahomes impression of two seasons ago. This guy, Matthew Stafford, I'm not really a big fan of Matthew Stafford being that he comes from Detroit, but I've always watched him play at least two times a year, and I understand that this guy is the real deal. It's fun to watch him out there in L.A. And the Rams, you know, we obviously, everybody knows the 1 and 2 that I have right now and in which order. The Rams could – I still feel like potentially the team to beat in the NFC, and I hate using that term, team to beat, because, you know, I won't get into the semantics of that. But the Rams are a really good team. Add Von Miller to that team, and they're a really great team. Coming in at number two, congrats to all you Cowboy fans. I am now coming around. Not that I haven't been coming around. The Cowboys, just the way I look at them, they just won a game with Cooper Rush, Dak out. Hopefully the Packers could do the same this week with the Jordan Love show. But Dallas is winning games in a lot of different ways. They're doing it when they have to come back from behind with a rookie core, a guy that's never started in his career. They're getting pick sixes to win games. They're doing it with defense. Obviously their offense is loaded when they have everybody at full strength. They've been out a couple linemen. They've dealt with issues. They have a bad head coach. They're able to win despite them having a bad head coach. Dallas is going to be there in the end, man, because right now they're a 6-1 team, and you look at their schedule, we talk about it all the time. There's really nobody that threatens them outside of a couple of games, and even though
Even still, like, those are decent matchups for the Cowboys. There's just really the Cowboys, I don't want to say they can run the table because it's the NFL, but, you know, the Dallas Cowboys might be favored in almost every game that they play going forward this season, which is one of those things where it's like, you know, when you're favored and you take it all out in a vacuum, pick each week. You know, I'm having a hard time picking against Dallas in any of these weeks. So Dallas is going to be tough down the stretch, but they haven't played anybody, so that'll be the question that they'll have to answer. And now we go to the king of the hill, the best team in football right now, and we're going to have to prove again why we're the best team in football right now and get a gutsy performance out of our defense. And that is the Green Bay Packers, your very own, your boys, Green Bay Packers. We all saw what happened Thursday night. Their defense is a lot better than advertised. They aren't even healthy. Now they're even less healthy. Last week, no Devontae. This week, no Aaron Rodgers. I say no problem. As Jimmy said in the comments earlier, the Chiefs stink. We all saw them yesterday. The Packers are coming off of an extended kind of a impromptu bye week with a Thursday night game, and the Chiefs just played a Monday night game, so they got a short week. I look for any advantage that we could get, especially now with the way that the Packers COVID situation is turning out. Very, very tragic for us. But yeah, the Packers, I'm not picking against Green Bay. They're 7-1. I'm a Packer fan. They're the best team in football. So that's it for the power rankings. And that's almost it for the show. I'm just gonna do some plugs and then we're gonna move on. If you guys want to check me out on the Packers Pulse, episode 2 is about to release. As soon as I'm done with this, I got to edit some things up. You can check me out. Go to chopsportsmedia.com, click on podcast, Packers Pulse. If you want to check out the MMA show, also chopsportsmedia.com, go on Chopheads MMA, subscribe, like, do all those good things. I'm also on the producer of Jimmy Palumbo's show, which airs every Tuesday. And this week I feel like was one of the funnier episodes, even though I dropped the ball. Me and Jimmy butt heads a lot in this episode, and I actually got a couple text messages saying, like, yo, do you guys actually not get along? And I'm like, no, we get along. That's just our relationship. We give each other a hard time, and it's a lot of fun when Jimmy comes in on Monday night, so look for that every Tuesday, and pretty much the entire lineup. We got 12 podcasts on the lineup and growing. Scoop will be in tomorrow to record episode 1 of the Cross Court podcast or the Cross Court cast. So, yeah, thank you everybody for supporting Chop Sports. Go buy some merch and subscribe to all of our podcasts. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next time. Tomorrow, actually.